We're going to be looking at Genesis 41 today. It's a rather lengthy chapter, but I'm just going to blow through it. I think you're sharp enough. You can catch all this. Genesis 41. I've kind of entitled this things, Cows, Corn, the King's Ring, and the King's Chain. That's what it's all about. Cows, corn, the King's Ring, and the King's Chain. And we've talked about this. He went from pit to Potiphar to prison and to power. It's all about Joseph, and it's all about the sovereign plan of God. And what I want you to realize is he's working the same way in us. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, he has a plan for us, and he will fulfill his plan. He's going to do it. You can count on it. Just like Joseph, he's going to fulfill his plan for you, for me, for Linda, for all of us. He's going to make it happen. There are going to be good days, bad days, good times, bad times, but God ultimately is going to win this thing. And remember, this started way back with Abraham and that covenant that he made, the Abrahamic covenant he made with God. And God told him and gave him that nightmare. And he said, one day you're going to be in a place for 400 years with a people that are not your people. And he had a little nightmare. And you could ask yourself then, how in the world are they going to end up in Egypt? Well, that had everything to do with Joseph. And that's the miracle of Joseph, is how the Jews ended up in Egypt. He was the one. And this is taking place over hundreds of years. Sometimes God moves slow, but he moves fine. But let's begin with prayer tonight. Father, we bow in your presence and we say with Jesus, hallowed be your name. Set apart is your name. You are a God who is sovereign. You're a God who is eternal life. You're a God who is love. You're righteous. You're justice. You're all powerful. You're everywhere present. And Father, you never ever change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We worship the true and living God, and you have given us your will in a book. And Father, you have taught us and challenged us to understand this book, to work hard to know what you have told us. And then once we understand it, to become doers of the word and not merely content to listen. So help us be in that category. And thank you for the teaching tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 41. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. You remember that Joseph asked the butler to remember him when he went back to Pharaoh. So after 2 full years, he had to wait. 2 full years that Pharaoh, here it is, had a dream. That's where it always starts. You can entitle this book, Dreaming. I'm always dreaming. It's a dreaming book. Here we go. He had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly, verse 2, there came up out of the river 7 cows. Now, like I said, it's cows and then corn. 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then, behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. And Pharaoh awoke. I imagine he was jarred awake when he dreamed that. Verse 5, he slept again and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain, I call it just corn, came up out. On one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads blighted by the west wind sprang up after them, and the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads, so that Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. So we got the 7 cows and the 7 ears of corn. Now verse 8, now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, And he sent and called for the magicians, and that's what they always do, the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Now look in verse 9. Then, circle that word, time had passed. Then, 2 years had passed. That's what that then represents. Then, the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh saying, you know what? I remember my faults this day. That is, I remember I did something you didn't like a whole lot. That's what he's saying. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, that would be Potiphar, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, he and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. That is, we had our own separate dreams. Verse 12. Now there was a young Hebrew man. Now he's talking about Joseph. With us. There. A servant of the captain of the guard, Potiphar. Now again, I want you to remember, Potiphar never forgot Joseph. He had a feeling that, he knew that Joseph wasn't guilty. He knew the problem was his wife, not Joseph. So he still had his eye on Joseph in a good way. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man, he interpreted according to his own dream, that is, to the butler and the baker. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened, he restored me to my office, and he hanged him. He restored the butler, and he hanged the baker. In other words, he's telling him that what he's saying is Joseph interpreted the dreams exactly like they happened. He was right, 100% right. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and I love this, and he shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. I love that. That was protocol. He's going to go stand before the powerful Pharaoh. People wonder, why in the world do we attempt to look our best when we attend church or attend Bible meetings? We're standing in the presence of the living God. That's not a bad thing to do. Now, I don't mean ties, wearing bow ties and all that, but look your best. When you are at church, look your best. All the Egyptians were clean shaven. They didn't wear beards, so he kind of wanted to blend in. He didn't want to look different. He kind of gotten scrubby and gruffy in prison. So he cleaned up for his audience with Pharaoh. Verse 15. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream. And there was no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. I love Joseph's answer. So Joseph answered Pharaoh and saying, yeah, it's true. I'm pretty good at dreams. I've done this a lot. I'm good at dreams. I can. This is a gift that God has given me. I can interpret dreams anytime, any place, anywhere. Is that what he said? Wrong version of the Bible, isn't it? That's not your version, is it? That's not mine either. I'm pulling your leg. That's not what he said. Look at what he said. It is not me. God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace. Joseph is giving God the credit. He's humble before the Lord. Now that was a great time to say, man, look at me. I'm the man. But he didn't. And the scripture tells us, give God the glory. And the scripture also tells us God will share his glory with no one. No one. He will not share his glory with us. So if we take the glory, we lose the reward. But if he gets the glory, we gain the reward. It's that simple. And in verse 17, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt. Such ugliness I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. These were bad looking cows. Verse 20. And the gaunt and ugly cows, now watch this, ate up the first seven, the fat cows. The ugly cows ate the good cows. That was his dream. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. It woke him up. Verse 22. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. Now I call these corn. Corn. Now you pull corn. You know, an ear of corn. Seven heads came up, a stalk full of good corn. Then behold, seven heads with withered, thin and blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. Now we got seven good ears of corn, seven bad ears of corn coming up before him. And the verse 24, and the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. Just like the seven ugly cows devoured the good cows. Same deal. So I was told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Now verse 25, we begin to get the answer. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads, that's heads of corn, are 7 years. The dreams are one. That's what Joseph is saying. They're one dream. Cows and the corn are one dream. Verse 27. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 29. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. Now listen to me. The one word that the ancient world hated to hear worse than any other word was famine. When it stopped raining for a long time, food became scarce, crops didn't grow, and people began to starve. They feared famine. They also feared disease. But famine was the worst. But now, verse 30 again, but after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. Verse 31. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following. For it will be very severe. That's important to understand. Very severe. A hard famine. And we're going to see in just a moment this famine was at that part of the world worldwide. It was a horrible time of famine. Verse 32. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. In other words, he wanted Pharaoh to understand exactly what this dream was all about. He didn't want Pharaoh to miss it. Verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. This is what Joseph is saying to Pharaoh. This is what I want you to do about it. This is a good plan for you, Pharaoh. Therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. That is, one-fifth every year for 7 years. Set it aside. Set it apart. Save it. Verse 35, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And we're going to see this in a moment. Build granaries. Store that stuff. You've seen those big silos. You know exactly what's going on here. Verse 36, then that food shall be as a reserve, circle that word, for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Now Joseph's pretty sharp, isn't he? Let's store up during the good years a lot, so that when the bad years come, we'll have the reserve. That's what he's saying. 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Now it's going to be obvious who it's going to be. You already know who it's going to be. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all of this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Now, I love this because we've gone now from that pit. We've gone to Potiphar. We've gone to prison. And now we're going to power. Is God not amazing or what? I'm saying, wow, what a God we serve. Now, the way you need to understand this, and I need to understand, this is our life. This is the times we have good times, bad times, but God's going to win in the end. And even during those bad times, what I want you to realize is that's when you need to realize that the Bible says that God is causing all things to work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are the called ones according to His purpose. And we need to focus on that, on the God side. That's the God side of this thing. Verse 40, you shall be over my house, and all of my people shall be ruled according to your word. He's talking to Joseph now. Joseph is going from a slave right on up to power. Now watch this. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. You're going to be second in command in Egypt. How far has he come? That absolutely blows me away. That's why I came up with the idea of the cows, the corn, the king's ring, and the golden chain. And we're going to see that in just a moment. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, the king's ring. King's ring. People took note of that ring. And he clothed him with garments of fine linen. Now look at this. And he put a gold chain around his neck. Cow's corn, king's ring, golden chain. Got it? Pretty simple. Verse 43. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee! To whom? To Joseph. That young Hebrew. We're going to see he's about 30 years old. Bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Underscore that. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Now that's power. He's second only to the king. Verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephanath-Paaneah. Zephanath-Paaneah. And he gave him his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now, Joseph's got a wife, and he's second in power, and he's running the show. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. I mean, it produced grain. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Now I want to say this. This is kind of prophetic, but Joseph is going to become very powerful, but Pharaoh is going to become very rich. Very rich. Verse 49, Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came from Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of his firstborn, circle the word firstborn, circle that word, Manasseh. He's the firstborn. That's important. We know about the firstborn. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So we have Ephraim and Manasseh. And we're going to find out later something amazing that happens between those two young men. So hang on to that idea. Put that somewhere back. Etch that back in your mind somewhere. Hang it on a memory peg. Okay? Verse 53. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended. And the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was what? Bread, food. And by the way, we're going to see in just a moment, that famine spread to Canaan too, and to Israel. So there's going to be a lot of people coming to Egypt to get some food. Verse 55. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, here it comes, go to Joseph. I love that. Whatever he says to you, what? Do. So he's gone from pit, Potiphar, prison, now to power. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses. Now here's the big key. And sold to the Egyptians. Like I said, Pharaoh is going to become very rich. The people are going to be able to eat. But Pharaoh is going to become very, very wealthy. And he sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands. Now, there's going to be one particular group that's going to come. And we're going to find out who that's going to be in the coming weeks of our study. But do you see how this all kind of came together? I'm amazed at God and how He does things. Now I know those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, there are times in our life when we think God is nowhere near. He is nowhere near. But He's well in control. We're in His hand. That's good to hear. We're in His hand. He is going to work His plan with us. He is going to fulfill His will for us. And that's a good thing to remember, just like He did with Joseph. And it's going to be, like, again, a lot of ups and downs. But ultimately, we will win. On our side, it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Did you hear that? That's the human side. Over here is the human side. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Now on God's side over here, is God is causing all things to work together for good to those of us who love Him and those of us that are called to Him. So that's God's side. Those are the two sides of our Christian life. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. That's how we respond. God says He will cause all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord. That's the first characteristic. And those who are the called ones according to His word.